Today's Washing Tech episode is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at washingtech.com/book. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And also Warby Parker. Get a free 5-day home try-on at warbyparkertrial.com/joe. 5 pairs, 5 days, and the try-on is 100% free. That's warbyparkertrial.com/joe.
Your intellectual property rights, as far as like a copyright and even trademarks, they are intact even before you see that lawyer.
Welcome to the Washing Tech Policy Podcast. We deliver the latest tech policy news and brightest tech policy experts to you, wherever you are, so you can stay productive, relevant, and informed in less time. From Washington, D.C., it's the Washing Tech Policy Podcast with Joe Miller.
Fate of the 2015 open internet rules is now up to the courts since the last Congress failed to vote on the resolution that would have saved them. Apple drastically lowers its revenue forecast, and Kim Tigner is my guest today. The House of Representatives failed to vote on a Senate-passed resolution that would have reinstated the 2015 open internet rules the FCC repealed after Trump took office. A lawsuit from consumer advocates and state attorneys general is still pending in the D.C. Circuit with oral arguments set for next month. The FCC says the lawsuits are moot since they've already repealed the rules. Apple lowered its revenue forecast last week, citing uncertainty about tensions with China. Apple CEO Tim Cook revised the company's first quarter forecast down by some $9 billion. The report sent stocks down early last week, but the market was up 700 points at the end of the week after reports of strong unemployment numbers. The FCC is back up to 5 commissioners after the Senate confirmed Democrat Jeffrey Starks and reconfirmed Republican Brendan Carr. Airbnb has won a legal victory in a federal lawsuit it brought against the city of New York for a law requiring the home sharing company to disclose the names and addresses of hosts to the mayor's office of special enforcement. The court issued a preliminary injunction against the new law, which was supposed to go into effect in February. Senators Mark Warner and Marco Rubio proposed bipartisan legislation last week that seeks to establish a new White House Office of Critical Technology and Security. The new office would be tasked with dealing with increasing cyber threats from China. Marriott reported last week that its November data breach allowed hackers to access some 5 million unencrypted passport numbers. Over 20 million total passport numbers were swiped, though, including encrypted ones. Marriott also claims that 117 million fewer guests were affected by the breach. It now says 383 million guests had their data breached. That's down from the 500 million it claimed back in November. And you can find links to all these stories in the show notes and also in our Twitter feed. And our handle is at Washing Tech. Stay with us. Washing Tech Policy Podcast listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. You can listen at the gym, in the car, or on your morning run. How about Becoming by Michelle Obama? You can download Becoming free by trying audible.com. Sign up for your free audiobook and 30-day free trial today at washingtech.com/book.
Washing Tech.
My guest today is Kim Tigner, the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law's Public Policy Director. Kim manages a portfolio that includes education, voting rights, employment discrimination, fair housing, affirmative action, criminal justice, and immigration. In addition, she manages the Judicial Diversity Program of the Lawyers Committee. She also leads the Lawyers Committee's intellectual property and social justice work. Kim Tigner is a proud Washington, D.C. native and earned her JD from Georgetown and her undergraduate degree in economics and information technology from William & Mary. Please welcome Kim Tigner. Hey, Kim.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Great. So tell us first about the great and historic work that the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law has done over the years. And then we'll dive into a comparatively new initiative that you've been working on, creative control.
Okay, great. So the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, we are a national civil rights nonprofit. We do some fantastic work in the voting, educational opportunity, economic justice, housing discrimination, just those really great, really critical and traditional civil rights issues. We were founded over 55 years ago by then President John F. Kennedy. And essentially, he knew that it was going to be critical for the private bar to be engaged in the civil rights work and movement. And so he invited 200 plus private bar attorneys to come into the White House and meet with him to figure out how that could be and what that would look like. And they left that meeting with the work and mission of the Lawyers Committee. And, you know, I got to tell you, even today, we have an amazing board of 200 plus private bar attorneys from firms around the globe. And it really allows us to do a lot of our work with the bite and power of a firm. You know, because we are able to really lean in and leverage the support and workforce and resources of these firms. And it just has really made for a pretty amazing and impactful partnership.
And this is a critical time for voting rights and civil rights in general. And one of the areas you've been doing a lot of work on is intellectual property and how civil rights are affected by the extent to which the law protects our creative works and inventions.
That's right, Joe. So one of the things, probably about a little over a year ago, we partnered with Google on some research to take a look at how intellectual property law impacts people of color. And what we found is that, you know, historically disenfranchised communities are indeed disparately impacted by the way that intellectual property laws are implemented. And basically what we did is from that research and white paper that came out of that work, decided that we needed to do some, you know, direct engagement with communities of color, not specifically with creators of color, and ensuring that they understand what their intellectual property rights are, and then building an infrastructure, a way for them to engage on the policy issues that impact them.
And what would you say are three or four key issues that creative artists and inventors should be aware of? Is there an if this were an intellectual property legal clinic, and since Kim and I are both lawyers, we have to do an ethical disclaimer here to advise you that this is not an intellectual property clinic. This is not legal advice. And that you should always take any specific questions you have to a lawyer. But let's say hypothetically that I, Joe Miller, came to you, Kim, as a creator, inventor, looking to learn more, sort of a one-on-one on what to be aware of generally when it comes to intellectual property. What are some of the key things that I need to know about?
I think that one of the most interesting and key things that we try to make sure that folks who ever come to our events or come to our sessions walk away with, just at a minimum, is that even before you meet with a lawyer, your intellectual property rights, as far as like a copyright and even trademarks, they are intact even before you see that lawyer, right? They are, you know, basically once you put something down on a tangible medium, then that's when your copyright begins. And I think that that's something that a lot of our folks are not even aware of. Now, of course, there are very many benefits for you to then either register on your own and register your materials and get them registered with the copyright office, or to do it through a lawyer. But I think that one of the most important things is that folks need to understand that even before you meet with that lawyer, your rights, you have rights coming in the door just once you put those ideas, your works, onto a tangible medium. And I would say the other thing that I really like our folks to walk away with is to, one, to understand that we're seeing a lot of predatory practices out there. There's just a lot of there are a lot of entities that are now really preying upon that emerging artist or that emerging entrepreneur in ways that that are extremely problematic for historically disenfranchised communities. So even for them to make sure that they are aware of just reading all the fine lines when they are thinking that they're signing up to get help, but really what they're signing up to do is to sign over their intellectual property.
And so what are the ways that people are being taken advantage of that you've seen? What are some historical examples?
Yeah, I mean, it's just something as simple as them hiring or going through some sort of managing or, you know, an entity that is set up to look like it's providing support for artists and, you know, putting forth and saying, you know, if you pay us this amount, we will do A, B, and C. And, you know, folks are either finding out that they have actually signed over their intellectual property rights or, you know, that trademark that they thought was in place or in the process of getting or the items that they thought were registered with the Copyright Office are indeed none of those things has happened, you know. And so, you know, all of this time they thought they were protected and they weren't.
So now Creative Control does have a real intellectual property clinic at the Lawyers Committee that creators can use.
That's exactly right, Joe. So what we do is that we try to do these outreach clinics and at the clinics, we bring together policy and legal IP experts along with artists and creators and inventors to have discussions on how these legal and policy issues impact them. But at the same time, as we have these larger conversations taking place, we also have one-on-one legal sessions that are going on where you're able to meet with an attorney for about 30 minutes. And it's just has proven to be so helpful and really important. I think that a lot of creators of color are reluctant to meet with an attorney because they feel like they have to have something completely cooked up, completely ready to go before they can even have that conversation. And so what these creative control clinics present is an opportunity to say, listen, it doesn't have to be a complete idea. It doesn't even have to, you know, this could just be something, just a light bulb goes off while you are sitting there, you know, participating in this larger conversation. And it's just to say that you can talk to an attorney to say, listen, this is what's on my mind. How should I be thinking about this? And even if I don't need an attorney today, next week or next month, at what point do I need to tap into those resources? And when do I really need to start thinking about my legal protections and rights?
Well, Kim, thanks for joining me. I think intellectual property is something that a lot of creators, inventors, and entrepreneurs think about at the last minute, as you just said, and, you know, when it's too late. So thanks for helping demystify some of this and giving us an affordable way to think about some of the intellectual property considerations we need to make here.
No, this is great, Joe. Thanks so much for having me on.
So now let's turn to your icebreaker.
Oh, yes, let's.
All right. So let's do that. Your career hack and your pick for our book this week. All right, so it's time for this week's icebreaker. It's a little corny, but I got this wheel that I spin here that's like the, one of the wheels you see in Vegas, and it gives us a random question, and then I ask it. Sound good?
Yep, sounds great.
Oh, this is a tough one. All right, who is a better businesswoman, Oprah Winfrey or Beyonce Knowles?
Oh, yes. You know what? I'm going to cheat, Joe. I'm going to have to say both. And I just, the thing is, I know you're dead. I'm sorry. That's what I'm going to do. And I guess my whole thing, when I think about those ladies, the two things that I admire the most about them is, and they share, this is what they have both mastered. They are both incredibly hard workers. But I think the other thing that they are just wonderful at is being unapologetic about requesting, demanding, staying true to what they want. You know, I think that a lot of times we, in an effort to try to be kind and patient or, you know, whatever adjective you want to use, we don't require people to deliver to us exactly what we want. And I just think that they are so good at actually demanding, you know, having things done the way they want it. And they do it with such grace and such elegance in a way that makes it still a joy to work with them. I just think it's something that is such a wonderful skill to have. And I think it's just reflected. It's a reflection on the great products that they put out and share with us.
How do you stay productive and successful? What are some of your key tactics for making it happen?
I think, and I mean, you know, it's a work in progress, but I think I'm at my best when my calendars are up to date, when I am completely like true to calendaring everything, looking at my, I love, you know, the GTAS Pro. It's this fantastic list making app that I am completely obsessed with. But it's when I stay true and I'm just completely disciplined about maintaining those, keeping those two items up to date. That is when I'm at my my most productive.
And what are you reading or watching these days?
Michelle Obama's Becoming, which is just wonderful. And she is taking me into the holiday season. So that's what I'm reading right now.
I was watching that Quincy Jones documentary. I haven't started Michelle's book. I need to get on that.
I want to do the Quincy Jones documentary. That's what I'm planning to do over the holidays too.
It's so good. You know, I'm already talking, you know, much more laid back now, like Quincy.
Oh, wow. I wish the folks could see you right now, Joe, because you're actually taking out some of his visual mannerisms as well.
Well, thanks again, Kim, for joining me. What are some takeaways you'd like to leave with us before we close? And where can we find you online?
Okay. Well, you can find me online. We are at www.lawyerscommittee.org. And then you can find us at, in Creative Control is all over social media. You guys can direct message us. You can, you know, message us on Instagram, on Twitter. We're just all over it. It's how we talk to a lot of folks. And I would say that what I really want people to walk away thinking about is to, really, I want creators of color to be aware of the fact that there's a lot of things that are happening on the Hill right this very moment that are impacting their ability to build wealth, their ability to express themselves freely. And I just, it's 2019 is going to be that year where we're going to really, really, really have to show our champions on the Hill the power of our voices and just how many of us are out there, and that we demand to be at the table now and forever.
You've been listening to Kim Tigner, Director of Policy at the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. Kim, thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much, Joe.
That concludes episode 168 of the podcast. Thanks so much for listening. If you like what we do, we'd love to hear from you. Please take a moment. Head over to Apple Podcasts. Give it a review. It helps others know what they can expect from the show and really helps us out. Thanks again for listening. Welcome to 2019, and I'll see you back here next week. Take care.